after we interviewed Fabrice Muamba last night. John contacted us. Morning to you, John.
Morning, Stephen.
And of course, John, as we're about to hear with Fabrice Muamba, he fought back. His heart had stopped for 78 minutes in this incredible story of how everything is okay with him. Now, what has happened to you and your family?
Well, I just arrived home last night when your show was on from the hospital. I'm Dagenham and Musgrave Park Hospital in the brain unit. And that sort of brought back memories.
This is your son?
Yeah.
What happened?
We found Dagenham dead in bed that morning. And half an hour before, he was a fit and healthy young fella. Never had doctors in his life. And my wife walked in to open the windows that morning and found him on top of the bed.
This is just last year.
The same day as November.
The same day?
Yeah.
So your wife walked into the... How old is your son?
He's 20.
And your wife walked into the bedroom and found what?
Deacon, half an hour before, Deacon had been up getting a glass of water. She always every morning. And we'd heard him been up and then back into bed. Because he wasn't at school that day. And my wife got up to go to work. It was normal, and she got up first. Started opening the windows in the house, and she just came into me and says, come quick. And I went in, and Dagenham's gone. He was grey. He had no pulse, no heartbeat, none. So I was trained CPR. Used to help out in youth clubs, and that's all I thought I could do. Got him onto the floor and started CPR and told my wife to phone 999. So at this stage, the whole house was up. And we're just trying our best to hopefully get him back.
And what you were doing was performing CPR on your son until the ambulance came. And it came about, what, 15 minutes later?
About 10, 15 minutes later, yeah. With CPR, you're sort of made aware of the heart's a pump. It can be got going again, but the real damage is the brain. So I was sort of aware of this, and I thought, we'll keep the oxygen going to his brain and the blood pumping until the paramedics arrived. Just hope to God they came back, and they came in and they gave him 13 electric shocks and got the heart going again.
What had happened to him?
Dagenham was born. We weren't aware of this until now, but he was born with a condition called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome. It's a heart defect. It's an electricity defect in your heart. And basically, within three seconds, you're dead.
And you had no idea your son had this until...
No idea. LRT. Dagenham was never the doctor's in his life. So, you're born with it, and... We've all had to get checked out with it. All the family has to be assessed. And it's life-changing. Just when I seen your show last night, it sort of brought it all back.
And obviously Fabrice Muamba's story, which we're about to replay some of from the TV show last night, it is a story where there is an incredibly good ending. And that no damage to him whatsoever, no brain damage, and you know he's up and smiling and laughing.
I think the fact that he maybe had all the equipment there on at his side in the early seconds of his being taken ill, that's probably helped him that way, you know. But
what is the score with your son?
Declan has the locked-in syndrome. So he is fully aware of everything. He can't see, can't eat, can't talk, can't walk. He looks actually very, very healthy. He doesn't even look as if he's been damaged. He communicates through blinking. So we've sort of taught each other to, we can talk now through, I would call him out the alphabet. And he would blink his sentences and his words. If he wanted something, if he wanted you to scratch his head, if he wanted you to shave him, if he wanted you to do whatever, I want to say we communicate. But he's doesn't. He seems very happy, you know.
So he can't move, John?
No, Dan can't move. No. He's not paralysed. He has the total feeling of his body. So he feels pain, he feels his limbs, he feels everything. But the signal's not getting to his muscles to move him.
And that's the brain damage was done when his heart stopped, is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So it's...
So now I understand it must have been incredibly difficult for you to come in and switch on the television last night. And
yeah, I just came home from the hospital and my wife was sitting watching it. And just... It was like an anniversary type feeling, you know. So it was... Because I remember lifting the paper that morning and seeing him, his photograph in November, and just brings it all back. So it does. But we just have to keep going, and it has changed our lives. It changes everything. He is... The hospital has communicated with Declan, and Declan is glad that he's alive, and he just wants to come home.
And he's been in hospital nearly a year now, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is he not home?
Well, we're about to work getting carried out to the house, so it's just a long process. There's no real... Technically, Declan shouldn't be as good as he is with the condition that he has. You're either dead or you're in vegetative state. But Declan has surprised the doctors. He has fully cognitive skills. And they're sort of unique in that way because they've never seen anybody with this kind of brain damage before. And he is able to communicate in such a very good way. So I think they're sort of... Well, they're learning, so they're. But sometimes, when people are in vegetative state, sometimes there maybe is a form of communication there that nobody sees. I seen it from the very outset. I seen it from a month after Declan came around, and I started to record him, me and him, on the phone, and basically trained each other to communicate and recorded it. So then and I sort of presented this to the doctors. I said, listen, there's something in here. And lo and behold, I was right. So I was. So I can just can't wait to get home.
You say he's happy.
Yes, that's the really ironic part. You think of the... Yeah, it's very...
You okay?
I just feel it's very difficult that if you're in that condition, yeah. How can you be so pleasant? But...
That's what he is, is he?
He is.
My goodness.
I think the fact that he's glad that he's alive, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what's making him happy. Also, the fact that maybe part of his personality wasn't damaged. So the processing part of his brain's intact. His personality, his humour hasn't been damaged. So therefore, he is the way he is.
You know, John, what... My goodness, I feel for you this morning and I feel for your family and for Declan. And first of all, thank you so, so much for sharing your story with me this morning. Thank you, sir. Thank you. What just scares me, John, is how vulnerable we all are to, in a heartbeat, bang, boom, literally a heartbeat. That's what this is about. It's about your heart stopping, bang. And there are many, many people who are calling for a wider availability of defibrillators. There are many, many people calling for many, many more of us to understand and know how to perform CPR on our loved ones. There are many people calling for us to get our hearts checked out personally ourselves. 08459 555 678 if you want to pick up the phone this morning. Andrew, morning to you, Andrew.
How are you, Stephen?
My goodness.
I just want to ring in and say my heart really goes out to that man. It really touched me. And I've got a young family myself, and thanks be to God, they're all healthy, and it just doesn't bear thinking about. And my heart really does go out to that man, genuinely. It's such a powerful story.
John, there are many people now, and Andrew, thank you, sir. I was saying there, Andrew, that if people are thinking like me this morning, it's just that notion that within a second, a young, healthy person can drop to the ground.
It's hard to get your head around. It really is, just in an instant, that your whole life can change so quickly. It's just unreal. It puts everything into perspective, you know. Frightening, very frightening.
And presumably, John, what you must do is you must compare what your son was like minutes before you walked into the bedroom to find him, and minutes after.
Yeah, we. I think we take Declan out. We take Declan out the weekends to meet his friends in the local pub, maybe, or something like that. And it's hard to see, you know, his friends and healthy, and he used to be the life and soul of the party.
Listen, I don't want to exploit you this morning. So I know you're upset, and I think we should leave it there. I just want to ask you one other thing, John. You mentioned during this interview today that you want your son home, but there is work to be done at the house. Okay, is there anything that I can do to help in terms of? Is there anybody getting in the way of you doing that work? Is there any?
No, it's all sorted right now.
Is there any planning issues? Is there anything that is delaying your son coming home that
no,
this program can help with?
There was for a time, but it's all sorted now, so it's all dealt with.
What do you mean there was? They were delaying you, were they?
There was just different complications, you know.
Okay.
I don't want to...
No, that's
fine. I don't want to sit here and condemn the government departments, but no, there was problems, but we've ironed them out, and... I'm just glad that it's been sorted and we start progressing and get him home.
Okay.
So it is, but you actually feel guilty sometimes of being healthy.
For him to be in hospital for a year, when are you getting him home, John?
Approximately June.
Okay.
And it'll take it 3 months to do the work, so.
Well, listen to me. If there's anything that this program can do to help you, I want you to pick up the phone. And what the team behind the scenes here will do is they will give you a direct line contact number for us. Okay?
Okay.
And if there's anything that we can do, then I want you to ask us.
Okay. Thank you.
We're thinking about you, John. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Cheers.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.